that isn't up to the 3% level that would require any sort of outbreak activity or response from CDC.
No more Norwalk outbreak on the Sea Princess, and a Haines man in custody since last fall receives a sentence for international drug importation. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That and more up next. A Haines man who's been in police custody since last fall has received a sentence of 16 months of home confinement for attempting to bring ecstasy into the country from Canada. The verdict came from U.S. District Court Judge Timothy Burgess in Juneau, who also gave 19-year-old Denham Craig Hagwood 750 hours of community service and 5 years probation for the incident late last year. On November 9, 2010, Customs and Border Protection officers arrested Hagwood as he imported 802 ecstasy pills through the Dalton Cache port of entry, 40 miles from Haines. An Alaska cruise ship appears to have limited the spread of an ongoing gastrointestinal illness. The San Francisco-based Sea Princess reported higher-than-usual norovirus levels on 4 of its 7 sailings this season. But its most recent 10-day cruise, which ended Saturday, July 9th, reported no outbreak. 53 passengers, about 2.5% of those on board, became ill during the previous sailing. Jay Dempsey is a spokesperson for the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, which monitors norovirus on ships.
While the cruise line alerted CDC of this activity, that isn't up to the 3% level that would require any sort of outbreak activity or response from CDC.
Cruises ending May 30th and June 9th also had high illness numbers, hitting about 6% of passengers. CDC staff responded by requiring intensive cleanings, which delayed the ship's departure several hours. They focused on cabins with repeated outbreaks and some other areas of the ship.
When vessel sanitation personnel were on the Sea Princess the last time, any recommendations that they made that the ship needed to address, those actions were addressed while personnel were on the ship conducting the inspection.
Princess spokeswoman Karen Candy says the current sailing, which began July 9th, has not had elevated numbers of infection. She says the most recent outbreak was most likely caused by sick passengers carrying it on board. The Sea Princess makes 10-day sailings to Southeast Alaska ports, including Skagway, with excursions going to Haines. The CDC says two other Alaskan ships had outbreaks this season, the National Geographic Sea Lion and Celebrity Millennium. The Coral Princess also had an increased illness count on the cruise just before its Alaskan season. No major problems were reported on the following sailings. Norovirus, also called Norwalk-like virus, causes diarrhea and vomiting. A former Skagway official was named to a state advisory council. Governor Sean Parnell appointed Alan Sorum to the Boating Safety Advisory Council, announced Monday. Sorum served as Skagway manager until winter 2008-2009, when he moved back to Valdez and began working as the director of training for the Prince William Sound Community College. Sorum is appointed to a seat reserved for a member of the public. The Boating Safety Advisory Council supports boating safety in Alaska by recommending educational materials, reviewing proposed boating regulations, considering the state's boating safety needs, and promoting boating safety education programs. Sorum has also held public management positions in Valdez, Wrangell, and has been a port director, harbor master, and has received awards for his work in boating safety. The historic building that houses the Baranoff Museum in Kodiak is undergoing yet another summer of renovations at the hands of a Skagway resident. KMXT's Brianna Gibbs has more.
The Erskine House, more commonly known and referred to as the Baranoff Museum, sure has seen its fair share of history. The building is the oldest continually occupied building in Alaska and survived the 1964 earthquake and tsunami. As one might imagine, decades of Kodiak's, at times, unforgivable weather can definitely take a toll on a building. But making repairs to a treasure like the Baranoff Museum becomes a balancing act between making needed improvements and maintaining the authenticity of such a historic building. For the last 4 years, the museum has sought out the expertise of Don Corwin, a historic preservation specialist from Skagway, who has traveled throughout Alaska renovating historic buildings. Corwin is a window and door expert and uses specific guidelines set by the National Park Service when making repairs to old buildings.
The National Park Service implemented a series of guidelines, mainly to get people throughout the entire country to view preservation in a similar manner, so that everybody was approaching their specific project with the same techniques, rather than having each individual reinvent the wheel. So therefore, there's basically some guidelines in terms of how to approach these types of projects and to assess what is appropriate in terms of action and to implement a system that maintains the integrity of the building and also helps to establish a maintenance system.
Corwin said part of the guidelines call for reusing as much of the material as possible and simply cleaning it up and reinstalling it. If a new piece of material is needed, Corwin says he tries as hard as possible to find the same type of materials that were used in the original construction.
As an example for the Erskine House or Baranoff Museum, the building is made with a lot of redwood that came from California as a result of the Alaska Commercial Company taking over the Russian holdings. So we've been lucky enough to procure some available redwood through different sources. And if I have to replace a specific piece of wood to repair something, I try to use the same type of material and replace it in kind.
This summer, Corwin finished repairing window panes on the sun porch of the museum.
This right here is the last of 167 pieces of glass. and they're all in. So now it's just a matter of finishing up the painting, and that's a milestone for me. That's a pretty big undertaking.
Museum director Katie Oliver said the museum often gathers some unlikely artifacts when the building undergoes renovation.
We have a special collection in the museum's collection that are found objects from the building. Over the years, various things have been found in floorboards or when folks have been gardening. We have, of course, an extensive collection from the 2008 archaeological research on the grounds. But most recently, we found a collection of three antique bottles that was hidden in a windowsill. We found a doll's dress that was inside of a windowsill, and we've also found newspaper insulation inside windowsills, and the newspaper dated to the 1890s, and I believe was from Montpelier, Vermont. So it's a bit of a mystery how it made it to Kodiak.
When asked if there were any plans to leave behind some 2011-era items, Oliver said Corwin has hinted that there may be some treasures for future museum directors to discover within the walls.
He indicated that there might be an Alaskan quarter dropped behind and other materials, yes, that have been, you know, of course we're keeping very detailed records of all the work that we do, but there may be something in there that someone can discover in 100 years from the work we're doing now, too.
Until then, Corwin said he plans to keep making needed repairs to the building until August. He said the Baranoff Museum is one of the most amazing buildings in the state, and the fact that it remains standing is a true testament to a community that takes pride in its history. I'm Brianna Gibbs.
Sea Alaska land selection legislation will be before the U.S. House Natural Resources Committee on Wednesday. The panel is the bill's final stop before heading to the House floor. The measure, authored by Alaska Congressman Don Young, is scheduled for markup. That means committee members will discuss the legislation and take up possible changes. Young's office says it's expected to pass out of the committee with bipartisan support. The bill was introduced in April and had a hearing in May before the Indian Affairs Subcommittee. The office says only minor changes have been made since that hearing. Young's measure would designate Tongass National Forest timberlands that Sea Alaska could select and harvest. Most are on Prince of Wales Island. It also proposes economic development zones. The lands are outside boundaries set by the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, which created native corporations. Sea Alaska says making additional selections within current boundaries and logging them could damage habitat and watersheds. Critics, including environmental groups, say the new selection areas include key habitat for fish and wildlife that should be protected. Senator Lisa Murkowski has her own version of the bill and has significant differences, including some of the timberland locations. It also had a hearing in April. Her office says it hopes for a markup this summer. If you smoke, but you really don't want to, your story could get you $500. Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, known as SEARCH, is taking entries for a contest called Dear Me, Hear Me, encouraging Alaskans to quit tobacco for good. The Southeast Healthcare Network's tobacco program and the State of Alaska Tobacco Prevention and Control Program invite Southeast tobacco users who are 18 or older to write a candid letter about their battle with tobacco and submit it in order to share their story and encourage sharing among others. 10 semifinalists will receive flip video cameras to record their letters, and 2 grand prize winners will film their own Dear Me commercial and win $500. SEARCH says the personal stories told through the Dear Me program encourage thoughts of quitting and have increased the number of quit attempts and calls to the Alaska Tobacco Quit Line, which is 1-800-QUIT-NOW. Any adult Alaska resident can enter by going to alaskaquitline.com. Examples are posted on the site. The deadline is August 1st. This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS News. Yeah!